الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين، شفيع المذنبين، حبيب الله العالمين، أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من يوم عداوتهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الحكيم وهو أصدق القائلين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أما بعد، السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. I begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no doubt that it's due to His kindness and generosity that He provides for us opportunities such as these, where we gather together in remembrance of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Next, we send our condolences to our 12th and living Imam, Imam Al-Hujja, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And to each and every one of you as we gather for these nights, inshaAllah, to commemorate the Istishhad anniversary of Aba Abdullah Al-Husayn and his family and companions, alayhim afdalu salatu wa salam. I'd like to thank you for that introduction. It's an honor for me to be of service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to come to the city of Edmonton. I believe I've come here before a very long time ago. There was a Nasimco conference that was held before I began in this line of service. And I had attended this conference at that time here in Edmonton. I recognize some of the faces from different paths of life, and I look forward to getting to know all of you, inshallah, better during the course of these nights, inshallah. The title of the theme, or for these nights that we have put together, the title that I selected was Life Lessons from the Tragedy of Karbala. The reason I selected this title is because if we are to fully understand the implications of the tragedy of Karbala, it wasn't just a massacre. I think in one hand it was a massacre, but if we're only looking at it from a physical point of view, then that's what we will get from it. But if we understand about our religion, we understand that there are many dimensions to everything. For everything outer, there is an inner dimension as well. And likewise, with the tragedy of Karbala, you find that with what we see externally, internally, there was something different going on altogether. And it is this understanding of the batin, of the internal aspects, of the esoteric aspects of Karbala, is what can be explained when Zainab alayhi salam said, "Ma wajadtu illa jamila." Yeah? When she was asked by Ibn Ziyad, "Kayfa wajadti sun'ullah?" How did you find the workings of God? Her reply was, "I didn't see anything but beauty in everything that happened." Yeah? This is because she understood and recognized what was truly happening. And for us to then maximize or take some of this from Karbala and apply it into our lives is the only way that we'll truly be successful in this life and the hereafter. I believe this is something that I'm sure all of you believe as well, is that Karbala laid out the blueprint of life altogether. Everything good that we can expect in life, everything good that we see in life happened in Karbala, and everything bad that we have to avoid, everything bad that we experience in life happened in Karbala. And therefore, we have to then take lessons from this tragedy of Karbala and apply it into our lives to truly be those who will respond to the call of Aba Abdullah alayhi salam when he said, "Hal min nasiri Yansuruna." Is there any helper who will assist us? And truly, we are those helpers, but it's not through physical action of fighting. Yeah? It's actually applying or adopting the qualities and the characteristics that we learn from Karbala into our day-to-day lives. And this is why, you know that very famous saying, it says, "Kullu yawmin Ashura wa kullu ardin Karbala." Every day is Ashura, every land is Karbala. It's not denoting just the physical aspect or the grief aspect of what happened. Rather, every lesson or every characteristics that you and I need to adopt happened in Karbala. Yeah? Therefore, when we begin to live the life of Aba Abdullah, every day for us is Ashura. Yeah? Because these were manifested on the plains of Karbala. Yeah? So this was just an introduction as far as why we selected these, this title. And inshallah, during the course of these nights, if God gives us enough life, we will try to cover different topics on a nightly basis, things that we can adopt or apply into our lives. And in the end result, and the hope is for myself and for you, is that if we can take a handful of these and begin to actually ponder and reflect upon them, then you will notice yourselves in your own life, and inshallah in my own life, that I'll get a really different understanding of Karbala than what I'm really used to. Right? The more one spiritually purifies themselves, the more higher understanding they will gain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the more higher understanding they will gain of Karbala. And every year, there will be this deeper understanding of Karbala. Without prolonging the introduction too much, the topic then that we've selected today is probably the most heaviest, to be quite honest. I didn't want to start with such a heavy and a dense topic, but it's needed. And the topic that we've selected for today, or the lesson, is that of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. Amr bil Ma'ruf is enjoining the good, isn't it? And Nahi anil Munkar is forbidding the evil. These are things that we learned in madrasa since we were kids, isn't it? We would read these furu'ud-deen, right? Salah, Sawm, Salah, Siyam, Hajj, Zakat, Khums, Jihad. We were able to read them and memorize and translate them. But this is one of the most important topics that one can discuss. And especially when we look at it from the lens of Karbala, this was probably the most important lesson that was demonstrated by Aba Abdullah alayhi salam. In fact, this was the only lesson ever mentioned, or the only reason ever mentioned by the Imam alayhi salam as to why he was leaving Medina, right? In the very famous statement that was issued by the Imam alayhi salam when he was rising and leaving, he says, "وَإِنِّي لَمْ أَخْرُجْ أَشِرَ وَلَا بَطِرَ وَلَا مُفْسِدًا وَلَا ظَالِمًا وَإِنَّمَا خَرَجْتُ لِطَلَبِ الْإِصْلَاحِ في أمة جدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله أريد أن آمر بالمعروف وأنهى عن المنكر." Yeah? He says, "I am not rising for joyful purposes, nor am I rising to cause oppression or injustice in this world. Rather, my aim at rising, yeah, is to reform the ummah of my grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad." And then the purpose of that is, "Uridu an amura bil ma'roof wa anha anil munkar." I want to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. This is the only reason ever mentioned by Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam as to why he is leaving Medina. Yeah? He never said that I'm leaving for any other reason besides Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. And therefore, it behooves us to understand this topic better so that we can learn to practice this. Yeah? This is something that is a very important wajibat. In fact, you know, when we look at traditions, we find that Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar are the two most important obligations that we have as human beings. Yeah? We get a tradition from our fifth Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Where he says, "Innal amra bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar faridatun azimatun biha tuqamul fara'id." Yeah? He says that Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar are such great obligations that by them all other obligations are founded upon. Yeah? فَرِيضَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ بِهَا تُقَامُ الْفَرَائِضُ. So first of all, he says, look, it's a farida. Farida is what? It's an obligation. Yeah? But not just any type of obligation. فَرِيضَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. It's a great obligation. بِهَا تُقَامُ الْفَرَائِضُ. All other fara'id then, all other obligations are based on أَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ and nahi anil munkar. He describes some. Wa ta'manu al madahib, wa tahillu al makasib, wa taruddu al madalim, wa ta'muru al ard, wa yuntasafu min al a'da, wa yastaqimu al amr. He says it is through amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar that ideologies are secured, by which earnings are made lawful, by which inequities are addressed. You know, if you think about why these are the basis from which every other foundation is based, we teach through Amr bil Ma'ruf, isn't it? Yeah? When, for example, we teach our children, yeah? Whether we realize it or not, we are doing Amr bil Ma'ruf. Yeah? When I wake my child up, or when I wake my wife up, or when my wife wakes me up for Salatul Fajr, she's doing Amr bil Ma'ruf. Yeah? When I teach my children at madrasa, we're doing Amr bil Ma'ruf. So these are the principles by which we are already living our lives. Yeah? The problem is not with Amr bil Ma'ruf. The problem is with Nahi anil Munkar. Yeah? Is in forbidding the evil. Yeah? You see, we're no problem if I tell you come to a majalis. It's nice. We'll do the zikr of Aba Abdullah. That's easy for me to do. Isn't it? Yeah. When I bring somebody towards good, it's not a problem. But when I have to prevent somebody from doing something evil, yeah. When I tell somebody, you know what, this is wrong, what you're doing, this is now where we are entering murky waters, to be quite honest, right? Because no one likes to be criticized. Yeah? No one likes to be pointed out their mistakes. And because of that, we have become a society in which we fear to correct somebody else's mistakes. Yeah? Where I don't want to step on your toes and you don't step on my toes. And thus, instead of becoming a true ummah, a true nation, we have kind of fallen back into our own houses. Yeah? I'm sure many of us come from a society and from a culture where there would be no issue whatsoever if my father's friend were to discipline me. Yeah? Let's forget hitting. Maybe they didn't do it right at one time. Yeah? But just to discipline me. Yeah? To say, hey, stop what you're doing. Right? Today, God forbid, if somebody was to discipline someone else's child, the parent would not accept that disciplining. Yeah? They would say, who are you to discipline my child? Yeah? We've become this society where we don't want to, for a lack of better term, offend anybody. And without a doubt, nahi anil munkar, if it is not done correctly, will offend somebody, right? If the person whom this advice is given or this admonition is given is not of the understanding that this person is simply fulfilling an obligation, they will not take that admonition correctly, right? And this is the problem that we find ourselves in, unfortunately, is where we have backed off, yeah, from forbidding the evil. Yeah? And to be quite honest, the consequence of that has been a spread of evil everywhere. Yeah? To our own mosques, to our own homes, to our own neighborhoods. Everywhere now there is a possibility of some negative influence affecting us. And it's a shame, to be quite honest. I think it would take an acceptance from society. We're not talking about the wider society, right? We're talking about the Muslim society, right? Because we have to recognize that Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi Anil Munkar is only obligatory upon Muslims. Yeah. Therefore, for example, if my coworker who's a Christian goes out to drink, I can't sit there and admonish them for going out to drink. Yeah. As Nahi Anil Munkar is not wajib on them. Yeah, because they don't believe in the same law. Of course, the nahi anil munkar for when it comes to oppression, when it comes to the tyranny, then it becomes wajib on us no matter who is doing it, right? But this common admonishment with regards to that which God has forbidden is a responsibility for us. It's not a responsibility for anywhere else. But we have become become reserved, and it's very unfortunate. I'm trying to find the right language to describe it, but I think you understand what I mean. We feel sometimes like As long as I take care of my business at home and I raise my child correctly, that they will not then be influenced by anybody else. Yeah? And this is a fallacy that we are living in. Yeah? This is absolutely not true, right? If you think about it, we as parents, when we have children, we spend less time with our children than they are with other people. Yeah? They're at school 8 to 9 hours a day. Yeah? I still, when they finish school, I'm still not home from work. So who babysits them? The TV babysits them. Yeah? Or something, the internet babysits them. Yeah? Or they go to some tutoring classes, for example. I get maybe 2 to 3 hours with them a day. And to think then that if I'm handling my business at home, they're not going to be affected, we are fooling ourselves, to be quite honest, right? Because the spread of evil is not something which can be restricted if I lock my doors in my house, right? Let me give you an example. Let's say I live in a townhouse, condominium-style property, right? Where there are maybe 100 houses in the same complex that I live in. I hear fire sirens and fire engines coming late at night, and I come out, and I see that a guy whose house is 20 houses down is on fire. Yeah? If I just say, well, that's his house, let him take care of it. Yeah? And I go back into my own house. What's the risk of that? Yeah? Fire spreads, doesn't it? Yeah? The risk is that my house will eventually get caught on fire because I did not act to put out that original fire. Yeah? The same thing happens with sins. The same thing happens with indecencies. Though it may not be present in my house, there is no guarantee that they will not creep into my house. Yeah? They're like germs. They don't know any different, right? We, our children, not just our children, I'm not just trying to pick on our children. We too are susceptible to this. What we watch on TV, what we see on the internet, we need spouses who will do nahi anil munkar for one another. We need families who will do nahi anil munkar for one another. We need communities where we will do nahi anil munkar for one another. You know, it is said that Prophet Shu'aib was leading a community. This hadith, it is reported from our fifth Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam. Allahumma. He says that two angels came down to Prophet Shu'aib and says that we are going to, by the command of God, destroy your community of 100,000. So he had 100,000 people. They said, we're going to destroy this community of 100,000. Out of these 100,000, he said, 60,000 were evildoers. Yeah? While 40,000 people were not evildoers. Yeah? They were, what we would say, good people. Yeah? They used to pray, they used to fast, they used to have a tasbih in their hand. Yeah? So Prophet Shu'aib was perplexed at this. He says, why? Why are you going to destroy this community of 40,000 who was not evil? Yeah? They didn't do anything wrong. And they went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies back. He says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 79, كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ فَعَلُوهُ لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. He says they would not forbid one another in the wrongs that they were committed in town. The evil that was happening in town, yeah, it is in the society that they lived in, the village they lived in, whatever it was, these 40,000 people were busy praying. They were fasting. Yeah, they were in their own homes with their hands and their heads in the sand. They weren't caring what was happening. Forget not caring. Yeah, they did not prevent this evil from happening. They did not even have this detestment that this evil was happening. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Surely evil is what they were doing. Yeah, these community of people who are good. This is a big warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, unfortunately, I think we have become a community who have become desensitized. Yeah? Evil no longer seems evil because we're so used to it. Yeah. So for example, homosexuality is no longer a big deal. Yeah? It's so prevalent. Movies have it, TVs have it. We may have coworkers who practice it. Yeah? So when we see this, it no longer even makes my heart cringe. Yeah? When somebody gossips, it no longer even makes my heart cringe. Yeah? When somebody curses, it no longer even sends a shiver down my spine. We have become completely desensitized. It is either through movies, it is either through TV, the internet. All of these things have made us numb. Yeah? Where now that we see evil taking place, it doesn't bother us anymore. And this is something that we really should be concerned about. Yeah? This is something that requires pondering as to why have I reached this status where if I hear about something evil happening, it doesn't bother me. You can relate to what I'm saying, can't you? Every day we used to hear 40 people killed in Iraq, 50 people killed in Iraq. After a while, it was just a passing headline. 50 people died. Okay, khair, 50 people died. Yeah? We have become desensitized to these type of things. Yeah. I did mention today's lecture was kind of heavy. They're not all going to be like this, yeah, inshallah. But it is important, yeah, for us to understand the importance of this particular discussion, and this is why we are starting with it, yeah. Because from this, then I think we can put together a good base, as the Imam had said, that Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar are the foundation. If we have this foundation understood, it will help us in where we're trying to go in the course of these 12 nights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 65, He says, قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ أَوْ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا وَيُذِيكَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ He says, say, He, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is able to send upon you a punishment from above you, a punishment from below you, or He can confound you as hostile factions and make you taste one another's violence. Yeah? These are three punishments God has mentioned. He says, look, I am able, if I wanted, to send a punishment to you from above you, or from below you, or I can make you fight one another and taste each other's punishment, right? Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says these are the punishments that God has described for a community who has abandoned Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. These three punishments. An azab from above you, a punishment from below you, or He'll make you taste each other's punishment. Yeah. We get further explanations. You know, when you think about this, when we look at the tafsir from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they talk about each of these punishments. They say, look, the one that is referring to from above you, when we read this, right, just as a plain reading of this verse, when I say God is able to send punishments from above you, what comes to mind? Yeah? It's a question. Lightning bolts, yeah? Rocks coming down, isn't it? Yeah? These are the type of punishments that God has sent upon previous communities. The Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam say that this is referring to tyrants and oppressors will govern you. Yeah? The punishment from above you. He says, tyrants and oppressors will govern you. Subhanallah. Yeah? Look at who governs the Muslim world. Yeah? Because again, this is applying to Muslims, isn't it? Yeah? You look at countries like Saudi Arabia. You look at countries like Bahrain. Yeah? You look at countries like Qatar and Kuwait. Who is governing these countries? Yeah? Oppressors. Yeah? Tyrants. Countries like Pakistan, which claim to be an Islamic country. Who's governing them? Afghanistan, you have one corrupt ruler after another corrupt ruler coming. Yeah? You see Saddam fall, another external force came in which is corrupt and tyrant governing over the people. Yeah? This is God's prophecy being fulfilled in front of our eyes. Yeah? God is saying, look, because of the abandonment of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, from above you, you will be governed by oppressors and tyrants. From below you, the Ahlul Bayt say that there will be so much corruption from regular people on earth. Yeah? So the below you punishment is like people like you and I, yeah, will be so corrupt that things will be turned upside down. Yeah? Again, you look in a Muslim country, right? Like we spent 4 years in Sham, right? It's not necessarily a Muslim country, right? But still there were Muslims there. Yeah? Nothing gets done without a bribe. Yeah, bribe is like a common practice there. You insult somebody if you don't give them a bribe. Yeah? Things have been turned upside down on their heads where there is so much corruption. Now the only way to do something legal and halal is through corruption. Yeah? I remember we entered the country. The guy said, "Where's your visa?" I showed him my visa. And then he stamped my passport. Then before he gave it back, he said, "Now give me something." I said, "Subhanallah, you already stamped my passport. Yeah, just give it to me." He said, no, give me something. Yeah, give me something." He would not return my passport until I gave him something. Yeah? Cops pull over people for what purpose? Just to get some money. Yeah? They don't want anything. They just want to make some money. This is just one example. Yeah? But if you look around us, my brothers and sisters, we are in this situation. And the third thing that they say, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Aw yalbisakum shi'an," and we will confine you as hostile factions. وَيُذِيكُ بَعْضَكُمْ بَعْسَ الْبَعْضِ. And you will now taste each other's violence. Yeah? You will taste each other's vengeance. Yeah? Look at what's happening. Yeah? Again, we have to focus just on the Islamic world because of the premise that أَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ and نَهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ are the responsibility of Muslims. Yeah? So when you look at these Islamic countries, and you look at the Muslims who are practicing this religion, whether they be in an Islamic country or not, yeah, we are in this situation where there's no doubt we're tasting each other's violence, isn't it? Yeah, who's killing who? Yeah, Muslims are killing Muslims everywhere. It's the most unfortunate and saddening and depressing aspect of what's going on. But it has been made clear by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam that the reason, yeah, we are facing this situation is because we have failed to fulfill the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are responsible for it. Yeah? It's nobody else who's responsible. There's a tradition we get from our fifth Imam, Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, "Wajadna fi kitabi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa ali, idha lam ya'muru bil ma'ruf, وَلَمْ يَنْهَوْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَلَمْ يَتَّبِعُ الْأَخْيَارَ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِ." He says that the fifth Imam says, it is we found in the book of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him and his family, that if you stop doing Amra bil Ma'ruf and you neglect Nahi anil Munkar and you do not follow the best of my family, Khiyaru Ahlul Bayti, what will happen? سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ شِرَارَهُمْ فَيَدْعُوا خِيَارَهُمْ فَلَا يُسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ. Allahu Akbar. Yeah? He says, if you abandon Amra bil Ma'ruf and you neglect Nahi anil Munkar and you don't follow the guidance and teachings of my family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the worst of creation rule over you. Yeah? And when the best of you pray to God for assistance, He will not answer your call. Yeah? Your dua will not go answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? Think about that for a second. Think about that. Right? Look at our situation right now. We inshallah are those who are khiyarukum. Yeah? The best of them that he describes. Yeah? We pray for peace. There's no peace. Yeah? We pray for salvation. Yeah? There is no salvation that is coming. We pray for the coming of our Imam. Our Imam is yet to come. Yeah? It's not because there needs to be more zulm for our Imam to come. Don't fool ourselves. Yeah? There has been enough zulm to last us eternity. Yeah? It's not that the Imam is waiting for more people to die. No, the Imam is waiting for us to act like the people that God wants us to act like. Yeah? He wants us to be those people who fulfill the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar to unite. Yeah? Imagine if we as an ummah, yeah, began to practice Amra bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar the way God wants us to practice. Yeah, there would be no divisions amongst us. Yeah, there would be no infighting within us. Yeah, we got problems. Yeah, let's not trick ourselves. We got major problems. We got problems as an ummah. We got problems as a madhab. We got problems at community levels. Yeah, and the reason why is because nobody is willing to say that this is as far as it goes. Yeah, no more. This is the line, and this is the beauty of what Abu Abdullah alayhi salam did in Karbala. Yeah, that the line was drawn. Yeah, a clear line. And in this line, it divided. It divided the people who were on the side of Abu Abdullah, and it divided the people who were on the side of Yazid. Yeah, this is why when Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was asked for bay'ah, yeah, what was his reply? He says, "Mithli la yubay'a mithlah." Yeah, he said, "People like me do not give allegiance to people like him." Yeah, he didn't say Hussein bin Ali la yubay'a Yazid bin Muawiyah. That would have ended it. Yeah, he didn't say that Hussein does not give bay'ah to Yazid. He said, "People like me." Yeah? Do not give allegiance to people like him. Therefore, Karbala, in its beauty, yeah, in its beauty and in its inner dimensions, divides for us haqq and batil. Yeah? There's no middle ground. There's no middle fence for me to walk on. My actions were either going to be the actions of Abu Abdullah, or my actions are going to be the actions of Yazid bin Muawiyah. Yeah? It's that simple. There is no middle ground to say, "Well, I'm a see." Yeah? What's better, what's there? No, there's no time. There is no time anymore. Yeah? And this is our responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, the verse that I recited in the khutbah, he says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin nas, ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar." He says that you are the best nation ever brought forth amongst people. Yeah? What an honor he has given us. Yeah? You are the best nation ever brought forth amongst people. Why? Ta'amuruna? Ta'amuruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna anil munkar. Because you do amr bil ma'ruf and you do nahi anil munkar. You know, whenever a statement is made, this is something that is taught in usul, in the principles of jurisprudence, right? Or it's even taught in mantik, in logic, that when a statement is made, there is a mantuk, and then there is a mafhum. Yeah, mantuk is that which is said, and mafhum is that which is understood from that statement, right? So, for example, if you make the mistake of telling your wife the food is really good today, yeah, the mantuk of that is, if she just takes the mantuk, she'll say, "Thank you, the food is good today." But if she takes the mafhum, what will she say? "Every other day is not good?" Yeah? Right? Because that's the implied meaning by adding that phrase "today." Right? If you come up to me and say the majlis was really good today, yeah, I can either take the mantuk or I can take the mafhum saying that every other day wasn't that good. Yeah? But you liked it especially today, right? So when we look at this verse that we read in the khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, ta'amuruna bil ma'roof wa tanhauna anil munkar." You are the best nation ever brought forth to mankind. Why? Because you do amr bil ma'roof and you do nahi anil munkar. Yeah? The mantuk is that. The mafhum is what? Once we abandon amr bil ma'roof, once we neglect nahi anil munkar, we are no longer the best nation in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? We are no longer that nation that He is proud of. And this, my brothers and sisters, this was the exact reason why Aba Abdullah alayhi salam stood. Yeah?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
The Ummah was no longer the best of nations. Yeah? That which the Prophet, his grandfather, had brought, yeah? That which Imam alayhi salam had worked so hard for, had become so corrupted, yeah? Had become so convoluted that again, you couldn't make out heads or tails of what was happening. Yeah? And the Imam alayhi salam wanted to restore that ummah back to that ummah which God said is the best of ummahs He had ever sent. Yeah? And this is the reason, my brothers and sisters, it is incumbent upon us, yeah? It is necessary for us, yeah, to begin these actions of amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 14, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. He says there has to be a nation from amongst you who invite people to good, who do good, who do أَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. There has to be, there has to be. Because if there is never, this entire, everything would be corrupt, because there's nobody else left there anymore. May God give a long life to our Maharaja, who are holding down the fort for us. But if there were no such people, my brothers and sisters, we would be a fasik society completely. Completely we would be a society which was corrupted. And this becomes our responsibility. Of course, when you look at the ahkam of fiqh, there are certain criteria that need to be fulfilled for one to do amra bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. The first of these criteria is that you yourself must know the ma'roof and you must know the munkar. And it's not like I've got it mixed up and then I'm trying to do tabligh. That would be counterproductive. So I must know the ma'roof. I must know the munkar before I go tell people to do amra bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, right? And it was very beautiful. So that means maybe some people are thinking, well, I don't know, so alhamdulillah, I don't have to do it. Ayatollah Sistani says no. Our Maharaja said no. It is time for us to learn it so that we can do amra bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. He doesn't just leave it at that. The second is that the person you are admonishing or advising, you must have that notion that they will accept what you have to say. And it's not that you tell them and you know that what's going to happen is that they'll just turn away and do whatever they want. You have to have at least some amount of hope that they will listen to what you have to say. But there are certain instances, again, he says, that it doesn't matter whether they agree or not. Because of the importance of it, you have to do it still. The third is that you cannot fear your own life or your own property or your own family members. So if me by doing nahi anil munkar, for example, there is a chance that I may get killed or my family may get oppressed, then that responsibility is lifted. But it's subhanAllah, if we understand that, it shows the necessity for Aba Abdullah to do it, isn't it? Where he gave everything. It didn't matter if his own life would be sacrificed. He gave it all for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think the most important thing for us to ask is, or to address is, how should we do nahi anil munkar? I don't think amra bil ma'roof is an issue, to be quite honest. It should be done more. It can be done more. Today, amra bil ma'roof can be done through so many different mediums. It can be done through Facebook, Twitter. It can be done through any social media, inviting people to majalis. Inviting people to Aba Abdullah is continuing the sha'air Allah. Is continuing the sacrament of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, venerating the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is that responsibility that I think we're already doing. Nahi anil munkar. May Allah bless the people who do nahi anil munkar. But there are many times I believe we do nahi anil munkar incorrectly. What do I mean by incorrectly? Like, if for example my child gets into a fight at school, what I'll do is I'll hit him and say, don't hit others. That's not nahi anil, that is not effective nahi anil munkar. That has no effect whatsoever. You're hitting the child and then telling him not to hit. That is very counterproductive. We sometimes do this as parents. We train incorrectly. I gave a series of lectures right now, alhamdulillah, in Brampton, about the responsibility that we have as parents and how we should train our children. It all falls into this category of nahi anil munkar, the responsibility of how to do it correctly. And if we want to know the correct path or the correct way of admonishing people and forbidding the evil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this very beautifully in Surah Taha, verse 44. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending Musa and Harun alayhim as-salam to go and do nahi anil munkar to Fir'aun. Now imagine the task assigned to Musa and Harun. We just have to do it to our children. God sent them to do it to the biggest oppressor of their time, right? But God tells them how to do it. He says to them, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. He says, O Musa and Harun, speak to him in a gentle manner. Subhanallah. Yeah? Subhanallah. Yeah? He says, look, you go there with your chest out with the bravado, it's not going to work. Yeah? You try to discipline people in that way, it's not going to work. Yeah? If I, for example, if you are trying to correct me at something, and you come there with slamming the door open and yelling at me, am I going to respond correctly to you? No. Yeah? I'm going to shut down right away. Yeah? The same thing happened. I remember when we was in London, I had gone there for a series of Muharram lectures. They did something very brilliant there. On one of the nights, they invited me as the religious guide. They invited a psychologist, and they invited a general practicing doctor. And what we did was we talked about drugs and alcohol in the community. So we gave them three perspectives, yeah, about drugs and alcohol and the prevalence of drugs and alcohol in the community. And then what they did was role-playing. Yeah. And this was very important. The role playing they were doing was of a father and a son. The father just caught the son smoking marijuana. Yeah. Now how should he speak to the child? And they gave three scenarios. And you know the scenario that had the most possibility was when the father spoke to him softly. Yeah. Not when he slammed open his door and came into the house guns blazing. Yeah. That had no effect whatsoever. Yeah. But when the father spoke to him in a manner which was, look, if you're going through something, we can talk about it. Yeah, this is the only way which we can do nahi anil munkar effectively. You know, one of this hadith, and we will end with this, that since I have read this hadith, and wherever I go, I make sure I recite this hadith. And I'm not sure if I had it planned on any other lectures, but I might be stealing my own thunder for future lectures. But this hadith is from our sixth Imam, Imam As-Sadiq, alayhi afdalu salatu wa salam. Allahumma salli ala. A man comes to see him, and the man comes from a tribe far, far away, a village far away. And when the Imam sees him, the man greets him and says, As-salamu alayka ya ibn Rasulillah, I am from this and so-and-so village, and I don't remember the name of the village right now, so forgive me. And he says, and we are your Shia. Yeah? So the Imam looks at him and he says, I know that village very well. Yeah? And there are no Shias there of ours. Yeah? It's a very hard tribe, very hard village. How did you end up becoming our Shia? The Imam was curious. Yeah? So the man says, Imam, let me tell you what happens. Yeah? He says, I own a land. And in my land, I have four or five workers who work with me. And on Fridays, I give them a day off. Yeah? So on Fridays, what they do is they all get together and they have a nice meal and they invite me to come and have a meal with them. So he says, I go and I sit with them and we eat a nice meal together. And then he says, one of my servants takes out alcohol. Yeah, he takes out wine. Yeah? And when he takes out wine, he says, not a single one of you will get a drop of wine unless you recite salawat on the Prophet and his family. So he said, we all loudly recite salawat upon the Prophet and his family, then we get drunk. Yeah? Subhanallah. Yeah? Subhanallah. Imagine, yeah, if that something happened to us. Yeah? Imagine if, for example, we find out one of our youth are out clubbing on a Thursday and then they come for Jummah, what would our reaction be to when we see them? Yeah? What are you doing here? Get out. Yeah? Go to your area, isn't it? Yeah? We find somebody mess up. This is our reaction. We shut them down. The Imam looks at him and he says, we accept your wilaya. Yeah? We accept your wilaya, but my advice is that you do not ever drink a drop of alcohol again. The man left and narrates, from that day we never drank another drop again. Why? Because the Imam spoke to him in a gentle manner. Yeah? The Imam spoke to him in a soft manner. Yeah? The Imam understood people will make mistakes. Yeah? When we do nahi anil munkar, we cannot have the mindset that look at this guy, how can he do this? Because we fail to realize that likely we are doing the exact same thing. Yeah? We have the same problems, but we fail to see our own problems. But we can very beautifully see the problems of everybody else. Isn't it? Yeah. In the ilm of akhlaq, in the study of akhlaq, they say that a man can see a splinter in the eyes of his brother, but he will miss a tree trunk in his own eyes. Yeah? In his own self, he will have the exact same problem, but he can notice it in everybody else, but he can't notice it in himself. When we do nahi anil munkar, it's very important that we realize that, look, people A will make mistakes. Yeah? We have to be acceptant of that. Yeah? But we always have to leave that door open to come to bring them back to us. And this is what we find, my brothers and sisters, on the plains of Karbala. Yeah? On the plains of Karbala, till the very last moment, history tells us that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam kept admonishing the people. Yeah? He kept telling them, I do not want to be the reason why you go to hell. Yeah? Do not fight me. Yeah? Leave or come on our side, but don't make me be that reason. This is that nahi anil munkar that the Imam alayhi salam showed us how it is done, where we are concerned about the welfare of our fellow brothers and sisters. This is why I forbid evil. Yeah? This is why I realize the importance of prevention of evil. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Tonight is the first night of Muharram. And it is a time that is very dear to us, the lovers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. There is no doubt that we look forward to this time. Yeah? We look forward to grieving, because we are that community who is that fulfillment of the desires of Fatima alayhi as-salam for there to be a community who will mourn over her son. Yeah? We are that fulfillment of that promise. So there is no doubt that it is us who cherish these moments. And it has been my tradition, which inshallah I will continue till my grave, that the first night of Muharram, I remember the mazlumiyat of Fatima alayhi salam. My brothers and sisters, it is Fatima who is that light from which all other light emanates. And when we think about the mazlumiyat of Fatima alayhi salam, it makes our hearts melt. It makes tears come to our eyes. It is said, my brothers and sisters, you know, it is what is most depressing when we think about the mazlumiyat of Fatima is that not only was she mazluma in her life, yeah, till today Fatima is mazluma. Yeah, till today she is oppressed that her Shia can still not go for the ziyarat of Fatima. Yeah. When you go for Hajj or when you go for Umrah, I had the opportunity, alhamdulillah, last year going for Hajj for the first time. The thought crossed our minds is that these Muslims who are here, don't they even think, where is the daughter of the Prophet buried? Yeah? This lady whom the Prophet says, Fatimatu bidha'atum minni. Yeah? That Fatima is a part of me. Doesn't it even cross their minds? Yeah? That because of the anger of Fatima, she refused to let the world know where she is buried. Yeah? And my brothers and sisters, this is why we pray for the coming of our Imam. There are so many reasons why we pray, but for one, that we can go for the ziyarat of Fatima alayhi salam. You know, it is said that once a man went to the dhari of Aba Abdullah alayhi salam, and he held on to the dhari of Aba Abdullah, and he began speaking to him and he said, Aba Abdullah, I have such and such requests. I have such and such needs, and I will not leave the city until you fulfill these needs of mine. He had such faith that it was Aba Abdullah who will come himself and fulfill these needs. It is said this man left the dhari of Aba Abdullah, and an elderly lady with her back broken comes to him and he says, oh Sheikh, this is the request that you had made. The man looks at her and says that I had requested this from Aba Abdullah. I had not requested this from anyone else. The lady looks at him and says, I am the mother of Hussein. I have come to fulfill your needs. The man looks at her and says, "We have read and we have heard that you are either 18 when you left this world, you are either 21 when you left this world, but you look like an older lady." This lady turns to him and says, "Have you not heard of my mazlumiyah? Have you not heard of the oppression that I had seen in my life?" The lady Fatima, alayha salam, she stood by the bed of Rasulullah and witnessed how the Muslims of that time refused to give the last rites of the Prophet, how the last requests of the Prophets were abandoned. It is at this time the Prophet looks at Fatima and says, "Bunayya, Bunayya, anti madlumatun ba'di." He says, "Oh Fatima, you will indeed be oppressed after me. Faman adhaki faqad adhani, wa man zalamaki faqad zalamani." It is said at this time Fatima begins to weep. The Prophet looks at her and says, "Fatima, do you weep at your mazlumiyah? Do you weep at your station?" Fatima says, "Oh my father, oh Rasulullah, I am not weeping at the oppression that I will face. I am weeping because I feel that life without you is no longer going to be able to live." The Prophet looks at Fatima and says, "Ya binti Muhammad, fa innaki awwalu man yalhaqu bi min ahlu bayti." He says, "Oh Fatima, know that you will be the first from my family who will join me." This brought a few moments of smile on the face of Fatima. فَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَيَمُونَ قَلَبِ يَنْقَلِبُونَ والعاقبة للمتقين إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our living imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the sins of our parents and our loved ones. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who are going through difficulty, that He end their difficulty. For those who have asked us to remember them in our prayers, Ya Allah, please accept their hajat. And lastly, we pray to God that we can attain a deeper understanding of the tragedy of Karbala to improve our situation, inshaAllah. Matam-e Hussain.